Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, it's 105. It's Big Teen Sal back on The Fan. All right, Sal, so the Giants here. It's a very open-ended question, and you know, I don't know that we need to go, you know, too deep minutia-wise into it. It's more of a surface thing, just kind of a gut reaction, like first glance, first reaction kind of a thing. If I say to you, Sal, best case scenario for the Giants this year, your answer will be what?
I mean, probably make the playoffs.
So about 10-7 sound right?
You're talking about just a win total?
Yeah, I mean, be a little more specific, you know, I mean.
I think best case. I think. All right, realistic or outside of my realistic best case? Because there is a best case that's realistic somewhat.
Yeah, but not bordering on unrealistic. Like Daniel Jones winning the MVP. Somewhat realistic.
I don't think they could win more than 9 games. So I'm going to say best case, Giants are a 9-win playoff team.
Okay, 9-8, which would be what they were when they went and beat the Vikings and lost to the Eagles a couple years back. That sounds about right. See, I think that. And it's kind of weird because you never know, like, as we've talked about a few times here, September is really morphed into August, especially the extra game and a little less urgency to start off really well. You know, teams have kind of kicked the can down the road, and not everybody, but a lot of teams don't get after it during the summer, don't play some of their best players, and you just see a sloppy brand of football in, you know, September. When you have that, you're going to get some unexpected results. But I do think that, I mean, it's like a hot take. But I think that if the Giants go into that third game in Cleveland at 0-2.
Yeah.
I don't think it's inconceivable the Giants are picking top 5, top 6 in the draft again.
So you're saying
they have to beg an early win.
That actually, you know, that wouldn't be best case for the season, but at the end of the season?
Yeah, I just got to jump in a different direction.
That would be best case for the franchise.
I think they have to beat the Vikings in week 1 because I do think that's at home.
No, but if they were picking that high again, you would assume they'd get their quarterback. And then finally next year, now it would have taken forever, and we still have Shane and Dable and, you know, going on extended time here. Then with their new quarterback, it kind of resets the clock a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think that if they're going to lose, then they need to, again, I don't believe in tanking. But if it just so happens that they lose enough to be a top 3 pick team, that would be the best case scenario.
Well, okay, so let me work off of that and take it in a different direction. Now I'll get back to the schedule in a second.
Dude, their schedule is, okay.
I don't want to forget this though. I think it's pretty important. So and I'm kind of with you. To me, best case feels like 9-8.
Right.
Best case, right? So if they're 9-8 best case, it's not ludicrous to say that worst case, 4-13, 5-12, like worst case.
Right.
There's got to be a gap in variables, doesn't there?
Well, just go based off of, and again, it doesn't mean everything, but the odds makers say 6.5 is their expected win total.
There you
right?
go. Yep.
Okay. So if I'm saying best case is roughly 3 games better than that, then let's say worst case is roughly 3 games worse than
that. I like the way you package that. Okay. So we're on the same page with that. And I don't think this will happen, but if worst case does happen, and let's just say they're 5-12. Yeah, they'll be able to pick the quarterback the next year, but are we sure that Dable and Shane are back?
I believe that they will be.
All right, I'm just asking.
I believe that they will be. Does that mean that they will? I have no idea. I mean, some people seem to think Bill Belichick. I don't think that that's going to happen at this particular point. Now, you want to ask me, would I make a change? I don't think that I would at that point. I love Dable as a head coach. I like Shane, but I need to see more. Yeah, and also I need another year to further evaluate them.
Mm-hmm.
Their expectation may be different than what the national expectation is from them or whatever, the experts' expectation from them. I think the season's going to be telling. Also, we'll see how, you know, from game to game, how Dable does. I believe he's a good head coach, but maybe he isn't.
I think he's good. I think he's good. He's already proved he's good.
Okay, but...
Come on, man. You win a road playoff game year 1, you're good. You got something going for you. Dable's good.
I think you can make a better case for not completely folding last year, where even though they had nothing last year and managing to be in games and win some games with Tommy DeVito.
I respect that.
Third string quarterback. Yeah. Like, that shows me that he knows what he's doing as a coach, which also gives me belief that it's not going to go to the level that it would need to go to get a top three pick. I don't think it's going to fall apart. Now, based on the schedule, I mean, they should be beating the Vikings at home, no?
Yes.
What at Washington week two?
I think that, of course, they always seem to split, so I'm not saying that they can't.
All right.
Commanders have some talent. I mean, Giant fans thinking that's a show-up win. I think that's nuts.
At Cleveland?
Loss.
Home against the Cowboys?
Loss.
At Seattle?
Tough trip. Probably a loss. It's tough
going
out there.
Home against the Bengals?
I mean, again, based on who's going to be favored, loss.
Home against the Eagles?
Loss.
Yeah, maybe that's a better way
to put
it. Keep
going. Okay, let's start over.
Games that they're not going to be favored.
Let's start. Yeah, you say the game. Start over, right. And I'll say if they're favored or dogs. Go.
Vikings, we probably have a line on that.
I don't, but I'm going to say they're going to be slightly favored or push.
Okay. At Washington?
Dogs.
Okay.
Slight dogs, but dogs.
At Cleveland?
Dogs.
Home against the Cowboys? At Seattle?
Dogs.
Home against the Bengals?
Dogs. Against Burrow's hurt, God forbid. But,
against the Eagles?
Dogs.
At Pittsburgh?
Dogs.
Home against the Commanders?
Depending upon where they are, I could see slight favorites or pick them.
Home against the Panthers?
Favored.
Home against the Bucs.
Mm, mm.
You know, they had a stretch last year, too, where there was like 3 or 4 weeks where I was like, all right, they got to get fat here and maybe right their ship.
Yep. Home against Tampa. So I'll give them slight favorites, but based on the optics of the season, the chance for that to go. See, I don't think that game's going to go. I don't think that game's. If I'm giving them a slight lean now, I don't think that really has a chance to go to big favorites. I do think it could go the other way and be slight dogs.
Okay, so as of now, how many do we got? 4 or 5?
I've got the Carolina Panther game. Vikings 1, Panthers 2.
Commanders, at Commanders. No,
not at Commanders.
Home against the Commanders.
Yes,
and home against the Bucs. So you have 4.
Yes, slight 4. I got you.
At Dallas?
Dogs.
Home against the Saints?
Yeah, they could be favored that game. I'm going to say 5. Close.
Okay.
Close.
Home against the Ravens?
Dogs.
At Atlanta?
I think Atlanta's going to be good.
Yeah, they're going to be dogs in that game.
I do.
Atlanta is going to be good. Home against the Colts?
I could see them being slight favorites or a push.
Depending on how it goes.
Yeah,
Philadelphia.
Dogs, unless Philly's not playing anybody.
You have a total?
I think we disagree a little bit. I have like 5 or 6 favored.
Right.
And I don't feel as strongly about 2 of them.
So think about this, though. Point is, when everybody looks at that number, and I think the consensus is, you know, by whether local pundits or whatever, 6.5 is low. Dable, Giants, Ed Neighbors, Ed Burns, their defense.
Well,
when you look at their schedule, it makes sense as to why the odds makers come up with 6.5.
Correct.
It is a difficult schedule.
Now, I want to take emotion out of this, and I want you to do the Jets real quick.
Yeah.
All right? Not who you think is going to win.
Schedule up?
I popped it up.
How many games are going to be favored in it?
You're going to answer this.
Like
you ready?
This.
All right.
Yeah.
Week 1 in San Francisco.
No.
So just say dogs are favored.
Yeah, dog.
Week 2 in Tennessee.
Oof.
Tennessee stinks.
It's a road game.
Oh, stop.
If
they're going to be favored by 5.5 points.
All right, good. Favorite. All right.
Ah, come on. Don't make this hard.
5.5
please.
Points. Come on.
Oh, come on.
Maybe,
hey, I'm going to be there. It might be 7
field
points.
If I get
out of the Tennessee bars and you actually get myself to the game. Week 3, home opener, Pats.
Favored. Big
okay,
favorites.
So,
probably double digit favorites.
You're keeping track, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Let me keep track.
So it's 2 out of 3 right now. They're favored.
Okay.
Okay. The next game, Denver home.
Favorite.
Okay, Minnesota home. That's in London.
So 3 favorite, 1 dog, right?
Yes.
Let me just make a column here so I don't lose this. Okay, go ahead.
London, Minnesota, week 5.
Favorite.
Okay, home versus Buffalo.
Favorite.
I agree. Sunday Night Football in Pittsburgh.
Favorite.
I could see a push or a slight dog
there. I don't think Pittsburgh supposed to be that good?
I think Pittsburgh's good, man. I think Pittsburgh's
good.
Yeah, but
if the Jets are what we thought, the Jets are going to be better than them.
Will they be favored in a place they almost never win in?
It's a -2.
Yeah, no, I, but
okay, okay,
I got
them,
you.
Okay,
still -2 is minus. Let's see. So you're going to say, what's your final answer for Pittsburgh? Slight dogs?
I'm going to say favorites, though.
Wow. All right, I would disagree, but I got you. This is your show.
Let's revisit that.
At Patriots, week 8.
Favorite.
Yep. Houston, home. Remember, they beat them last year at home with Zach. Home, Houston.
Oh, that's a tight one. But I'm still going to say at home, very slight favorite.
Yeah, okay. In Arizona?
Favorite.
Yep. Colts, home?
Favorite.
Seattle, home?
Favorite.
Down in Miami, week 14?
They're going to be underdog in that game.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
Down in Jacksonville, so back-to-back southern trips.
Damn, man, Jacksonville. I'm going to say underdog in that one. Slight underdog.
I'm going to push back a little bit on that, but I can see why you would say that. Rams
plus,
home.
Plus, they've been heavy favorite, so I'll just give Rams at home favorite.
Mm-hmm. In Buffalo, last week of the season.
Dog.
Pardon me, second to last.
Dog.
Miami home.
They'll be favorite in that.
Yeah, that is January
5th, by the way. I've got 13. 13 and 4.
Okay. And what's the Jets' projected win total? 10.5?
Right, probably.
Right?
Is it 9.5, I think?
Is it 9.5?
Yeah, because Doggy said he's going to bet 10K on that. It's at 9.5.
Dog. Okay. 9.5, whatever. 9.5, 10, something like that, depending upon where you shop. So think about this. Think about the Giants' projected win total, and think about the Jets, compare and contrast, and then factor in worst case and best case for each team. Now, answer the Jets part. Best case scenario for the Jets this year would be, in your opinion?
I probably think that best case is around 12, 13 wins.
So 13 and 4, 12 and 5? I would agree.
Yeah.
Worst case? Now, let me just say this as you factor in the math. If we get to worst case for the Jets, it's going to be gory. It's going to be gory around these parts,
bro. I just
remember
doing the same thing with you last year. Like, if this isn't the year for the Jets.
I know.
Then, boom, before we could even get started, it was over.
At least they have a competent backup, at least, to give them a puncher's chance to steal a few.
I still
think. If Rodgers gets hurt.
Worst case, I'll give you eight wins.
There's no way they can go 8-9. To me, worst, that's not even.
If Rodgers gets hurt, you think they're going to win more than 8 games?
I do. I think that they would still find a way to get to 9 or so. With Tyrod Taylor with that defense, I do. I mean, it's not like 8 is
Fair
so
enough.
Different from 10.
Yeah.
But, like, if
well, what are you projecting 12 wins?
I might go to 13, but since this is the job, I'm going to go 12 and 5, Jets.
Just to be cautious, okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to the first game. I mean, I'm chalking up a loss, but you tell me that defense can't get in Brock Purdy's mug? But I'm going to say loss, all right?
I mean, if you have them beating the Niners,
I'm going to have them lose in that game. I'm going to be fair.
Maybe they do win that and give one back. I mean, that's why this is sports.
Probably lose.
By the way, Zoo, can you check real quick both the odds right now for the Giants week one and Jets week one?
Yeah, I want to see those numbers. That's a good point. All right, so 0-1, right? Smack Tennessee, smack the Pats, beat Denver, you know, beat Minnesota. I mean, the Jets should be 4-1 going into the Buffalo game week six, Monday night. I mean, I'm such an idiot. I'm doing this again for myself. I'm such a loser. But,
I'm glad you called yourself.
But, yeah, I know. Trust me. I know. But they could be 5-6. They could be 6-1.
Last year was win. As we're going through that, you're asking me favorites or underdog. And I'm like, God, you know, yeah, the Jets should be favorite. But if Rodgers isn't the quarterback, they're going to be underdog in a lot of these games. Like by week 12, who the hell knows?
Well, I know. Here's a good way to look at it. Because we went through the whole Zach Wilson experience last year. Let's just say Aaron Rodgers didn't exist. Let's say he retired or he's still in Green Bay. And let's say the Jets said, all right, we're done with Zach like they did. And they brought in Tyrod to start. With this defense, with Tyron Smith on the left side, with Vera Tucker healthy, blah, blah, blah. What would you say then?
Probably say 8 or 9.
Yeah, exactly.
Right around there anyway. All right, so what are the odds? Give me the Giants first.
Can I guess first?
Yes, okay.
Go ahead.
Good.
I'm usually pretty good at this. So week one, we're doing Giants first?
Yes. Giants first.
I'm going to say the Giants right now are, I honestly have not seen, I'm going to say 2.5-point favorites against Vikings week one at MetLife.
Yeah, I would guess field goal. Go ahead.
It is a 1.5-point spread right now, and it's actually a pick 'em on the money line. Giants minus 110.
Really?
And the Giants are favored, by the way.
Boy, so Giants minus 1.5 is the spread right now.
Okay, yes,
sir. That makes some sense.
Lower than
and maybe it was a little strong with the field goal there. A little rusty.
I mean,
Sam Darnold is the quarterback.
I know he is.
Sake.
Although, you know, Sam's got some weapons out there. No, he does. He does.
To be fair to bookmakers, Daniel Jones is the other quarterback.
I get that, too. But still, the Giants are home, a home opener. The Giants are winning that game. Come on.
If they don't, it's going to be a long season, man.
All right.
Hey, minus Jets. 110.
I'm sorry, Zoo. The Jets right now in San Francisco, I'm going to say it's around similar. I'm going to say that the Niners are minus 2 right now. Hold on. You don't want to entice some Jet money here. Niners minus 1.5.
I'm going Niners minus 3.5.
No way are you getting 3.5 from Jets' perspective.
Oh, then BT, you're going to love this.
I'm all over it if it is. What is it?
Jets are getting 5.5.
What?
5.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now.
What is the money line for the plus 200?
190. That was very astute.
Plus 190.
190. 2-1 odds.
You're getting a big hole this year. It's going to be dug early.
I thought 3.5 was a little strong. I can't believe it. 5 points. Yeah. I mean, look, man.
It's not much
Niners.
Respect for the Jets.
It's the 49ers.
Okay. Are we sure that
the best teams in the league.
Are we sure that Ayuk is going to be on the team?
Who cares?
Who cares?
Home opener, their defense.
Who cares?
Purdy's slinging it all over the place, running it right down.
If Brandon Ayuk is not, if you take Ayuk out of the, and I don't know if he will be gone.
Debo healthy?
For now.
Kittle healthy?
For now.
McCaffrey healthy?
For now. Yeah. I mean, if Ayuk is not there, you give a on paper a great Jets defense one less guy to worry about? I'll take the five all day.
Niners probably double-digit victory that day.
Get the hell out of here, double day. Dude, if the Jets get smoked, I'm going to be. It's going to be ugly again. Anything that I deem unacceptable. Like, if the Jets lose, I don't know, like, in Miami or in Buffalo by three. I'm going to be somewhat measured. But if the Jets either get blown out or lose games, or not, I'm going to be unhinged this year.
I can't wait for this football season.
Me too.
The football gods, they did us all dirty last year.
Mm-hmm.
Giants were done in week one after that embarrassing performance by the Cowboys. And the Jets, obviously, four plays in, it all blew up. Just give us a season this year. Stay healthy. Let's see what we got.
Right, well, you have your whisper. What word do you whisper?
Soto.
I got one for you, too. You ready?
Yeah.
Unkillable. All right. Hey, let's get to these calls. Jet Giant fans jumping on that. I know there's a couple things that we hit bounced around a little, but listen, it's football. I think you guys enjoy that.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. This happened. You talked about it on The Fan.
Five back to pass. Takes a deep drop. Steps up. Looking to his right. And the pass intercepted by the Giants at the 40-yard line. Intercepted by the Giants. Corey Webster got the pick and he's tackled at the Packer 34.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan. 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Okay, today's Call of the Day brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Let me get Dino, who's up in the Bronx. What's going on, Dino? BT and Sal, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you guys?
Okay.
Good.
Listen, the Mets, you got to keep believing, all right? You got to keep believing because at the end of the day, you can only win the games you have ahead of you. You're not going to win all of them. You got to win some.
Yeah, but why would you have faith? Wait, whoa. Why would you have faith that they're going to win the games that are in front of you when they can't win the games that they've already played?
Because we've been playing good this whole season, and that's what you do as a Mets fan. You got to believe.
No.
That's why we're here. Don't get me started in the yelling. No. You're probably a Yankee fan.
No.
You got to sit there and you believe in this team. You believe in this team so that they get to the playoffs. Because then what happens
Dino,
in the playoffs?
Dino, you can believe whatever you want. You can believe whatever you want. I live in reality. Okay? I live in reality.
Yeah, and the reality is we're doing okay. We're doing better than okay. That's the reality. And so is everybody else in the National League. Everybody else in the National League is doing just okay.
Well, but Dino, hold on a sec. Let's see if that reality, and it might, but let's see if that reality applies when you guys finish up this 10-game stretch. That's the point of the conversation.
Oh, we're going to see. We're going to see.
Okay.
We're going to see when it's all
said and
done.
We'll see what? 4-6? What are we going to see? We're not seeing 8-2.
Dino, hold up. Dino, see, here's the thing. I respect your fandom, but you're talking from a fan's perspective, which is fine. We have to be realistic here. Where's that belief? Where'd that belief get you in 2022? Where has that belief gotten you from 1986? And where has that belief gotten you from 1969 on? How often has your belief in the New York Mets, however old you may be, your belief, you got to believe. Well, how often has that belief gotten you to where you believe and hope that they would go since 1969?
I think it worked in 73.
Yeah,
almost.
Even then.
I mean, at least you got there.
Oh, man.
All right, good stuff. That's the BT and Sal call of the day. Let's get back to you. Speaking of calls, 888-808-1019. Yankees, a big theme. The back of the bullpen's a mess. I think they've got to change it. That's it. They can't trade for anybody at this point. You know, that line's passed, but you've got some internal options, and I laid it out for you if you guys want to react to that. Or the Jets and the Giants stuff that we just hit. Let's get back to the phone, Sal, right? Did you have something there?
I was just going to say, when is Schmidt coming back?
He's getting very close. I don't have an exact timetable for you. I know that he's ramped things up. I think he's going to be ready in a week or two.
Right, I know he was getting closer. I didn't know if you had a firm. Because I'd be curious to see how he looks when he comes back and see what the Yankees do there with that rotation or potentially moving him.
Larry's in on the island or East Islip. What's up, Larry? How you doing today?
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
What's up, Larry?
I have a couple of quick things. Very good, thank God. I have a couple of quick things. Normally I go with Sal. Today, BT, I'm deferring to you, my brother.
Okay.
With the Yankees. I've been watching all year from the beginning. I'm a big Met fan, big Jet fan. They supposedly go all in with Soto. Now my question to you is, Cashman changed the team a little bit at the line. what do you do when Soto, if Soto doesn't sign, wherever he goes, Mets, wherever it is, what if he doesn't sign? Like, where does that leave Cashman that he traded big-time prospects and ready-made players to make a move? And then at the deadline, you know, Sal was screaming, go in at the deadline for the Mets. No, no. The Yankees had to go in because they threw their marbles. Everything was all over the table. You cannot leave them like this hanging, because if this guy walks and that guy keeps his job, BT, my man, I am going to be in front with you, with the flag, fire Cashman right now.
Yeah, it's,
that's all I got with that. But that's all I got with that.
The one thing, though, Larry, is who'd you want them to get? Who'd you want them to get at the deadline?
Sal, my question is to you. We were screaming about the Mets. Get this guy.
No, I know, but I'm asking you.
All right.
I'm asking you. I'm fine with that, but is there a guy in particular that you wanted the Yankees to go all in and get?
You had to get the starter. You had to get the guy the Mets are looking at. I'm sorry, my memory's...
You're talking about Snell. Blake Snell, that would be the guy. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay,
yes.
Well,
you have to get him to make that move, because you're leaving everybody out in the wind. You see the stretch that they're going through now? Just like the last call, the Mets. Guys, they're going 4-6. We all know that. This is not the Mets' time. 2 years from now, the Mets are going to be ready. And when they have to go all in...
Who knows?
I will kill the King if you don't go all in when he's supposed to. Yeah, well, he's been good this time, he ain't a king now.
You can't call him the King. He hasn't done that yet. I think you bring up some good points. I only have one quick question for you, and that's who is the... Like, if people ask me, Sal, you say you want the Mets to go all in, well, who'd you want? And I answer Blake Snell. For the Yankee fans to say they needed to go all in, and I do think they needed to do more, but I thought they needed more help in the bullpen than starting rotation. I mean, you could argue also they needed more help in the lineup. They got Jazz. Unfortunately, he's hurt right now, but they got one of the better bats available. Was it enough? No, I don't think so. But as far as the bullpen arms go, they could have done more. The number one guy, though, was Tanner Scott, and I can't blame them for not going after him because of what he cost and because of what he is ultimately, you know, being inconsistent with throwing strikes.
Listen, I know that his name was out there for a while, and I was stunned at it because we watched him last night, and he's filthy. We watched him in the All-Star game. Schoolboy's insane. Maybe that was just seeing, all right, how crazy of an offer can we get in terms of just drumming up some interest here, seeing what's out there, which is not a bad thing to do. But the Tigers... I mean, didn't you think for a minute Schoolboy was going to get dealt?
Well, if he were to get dealt, that would be a different story. Then the Mets, Yankees, anybody really should have been on him. But I don't, like, people will say, oh, Snell wasn't available. Schoolboy wasn't available. I don't believe Schoolboy was available. I do believe Snell was available.
I agree with the Snell and the way it played out. I probably agree with the Schoolboy thing.
Would you have given up Dominguez and
Spencer Jones?
Yeah.
I wouldn't give up Dominguez for anybody.
Okay, then you're not getting Schoolboy because...
No, I know. I mean for the Mets.
Yeah. Well,
because Schoolboy's the kind of move that fits their timeline.
I don't even know. He would have been the home run. I said at the time...
And then you pay him whatever when arms up, well, man. That would have been the home run move.
Remember what I said at the time? Take on Javi Baez contract.
You did say that. You did. Yeah, that was actually pretty creative. You did say that.
Well, that would have been because the Mets don't have enough in the farm system. Like, even if they took on Baez contract and gave up their top three prospects, it still might not have been enough to get
Schoolboy. You don't get wrapped up in the prospects, but did you see the article the other day where some of the Mets prospects, they relaunched the rankings and they dropped?
No, I'm not surprised.
Like Acuna dropped, Gilbert dropped.
Jet Williams?
Yeah, like it wasn't incredibly impressive.
I'm not sold on these guys.
Yeah, how could you be? Mm.
But who the hell knows? I wasn't sold on Vientos either. And by the way, because they weren't sold on Vientos. And yet he comes up, and he's one guy who's mashed.
Yeah, he is good. I like him. Kenny's in Floral Park. BT and Sal. What's up, Ken?
Hey, guys. Great show as usual.
Thanks, dude.
Hey, BT, this is not a second guess. This is a first guess.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the offseason. This is not a second guess. I was praying the Yankees would not go into the season with Clay Holmes. I think they were lulled into some occasional spurts that he had over the last few years, but overall is inconsistent. This was an all-in season, and there was an all-in move that I wanted to make. It was going to cost the money, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And while he has not been as dominant as he had been in the past, he still's got like 84 strikeouts and 55 innings. They had a chance to get Josh Hader in the offseason and put Holmes in the eighth inning. That would have been an all-in sick move. Now, he's not as incredibly dominant as he was with the Brewers last year, but his stats are still...
Well, that's...
He's a big upgrade.
I mean, if you remember, BT, that's the guy that I wanted to get in the offseason, and thank you for the call, Ken. Now, to the Yankees' credit, and your point, he was not as good as you had hoped. I mean, even this year, I'm trying to pull up his numbers now.
His ERA's got to be like 3.5. It's close to it.
3.42 ERA. Now, he was awful to start the year. Yeah, I still think that that would have been
the 5-year deal.
That would have been
5 years.
I mean, it's,
that's what he got.
Yeah, I get it. But
5 years, 100.
I mean, hey, the Astros did it. You know,
yeah.
Somebody did it. I thought that was the move. But point is, if I was saying that that was the move in the offseason for the Yankees, it to me showed that they needed the bullpen arm, the dominant bullpen arm. Now, whether it was the right or wrong move, I mean, we'll find out here. You know, clearly some people say that was a significant overpay for Hader.
Let me get Freddie in Springfield, New Jersey. What's up, Fred?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, man.
Allow me to vent, please, as a longtime Yankee fan about Clay Holmes real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the guy's got great stuff. Everybody knows great stuff. I'm tired of hearing great stuff, great stuff, great stuff. It's a different animal altogether in the ninth inning. This guy is not a closer. What if you switch Weaver and him around?
Maybe they do that. I mean, you still trust Weaver to close? I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Well, we don't know. You just got finished saying that it's too late to get anybody at this point, so you got to switch things around. So how about that?
You know, I think that you have whatever you're going to do, Freddie. And that's why I said this the first, you know, 2 minutes of the show this morning at 10 o'clock here on The Fan. You got to do now. Like, I want to implement this now. And I came with the solution. Heel or Schmidt. Who did he say? Who did he say? He said a name.
Weaver.
I said Weaver. That's right. I was looking something up. I just want to see, you know, in college and lower levels of the minors. Now, this would be a little nutty at this point here. But I want to see how many games Clay Holmes started. I was just out of curiosity. And he did start, you know, in the minors when he was drafted. Let's see. Low A, you know, he made 25 starts in 2013, forever ago, but still.
Yeah.
And then he made 26 starts at Double A. He made 24 starts at Triple A. And then from 2017, he made 16 starts in 2018. And still, you're talking a while ago. But I was just wondering if there was maybe enough built up where maybe he can make Clay Holmes a starter.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You know,
that's more of an offseason thing. But he's not a closer. That's the bottom line.
Here's one thing that I respect that you said. If you're going to make a change, you want them to make the change now.
Yep.
The Yankees historically, you know, whether it's moving Gleyber Torres off a short, whatever it may be, moving certain guys down in the lineup or getting rid of something, like, they usually do. They've done it in the postseason.
When do you think that goes back to? You say historically. Well, Joe Torre didn't care about that. No, he batted A-Rod eighth.
I'm talking about the last few years.
Yeah. No, you're right.
It's like we've all been saying, you know, the most prime example was Torres a couple of years ago. He's not a shorts or IKF a couple of years ago. Excuse me, not Gleyber Torres. Although that
and,
was another
and Torres
one.
Too.
Yeah, that was another. But IKF a couple of years ago. He's not a shortstop. He's not a shortstop. Boone says he's a shortstop. He's look at the metrics. Blah blah blah. We all say he's not a shortstop. Not a shortstop. Postseason comes, they call it Peraza, have him playing short, and they move IKF over.
He did.
I mean, so maybe that'll happen here, where they get to the postseason and they say, hey, you know what, you guys are right. We'll move Clay Holmes from the closer spot.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think there's a better definitive option though right now.
What about by committee? I mean, I know that's not exactly reassuring on matchups.
Fair. So then forget about the actual closer and just say, how would you rank the Yankees' bullpen as far as most trusted arms go?
I know.
You know?
Lewizig has killed them. He's got...
By the way, is Efros alive? What's up with him?
Who the hell knows?
He's always been hurt since he's been here, but I thought he was getting closer to return.
That's what they said. I did hear Boone say that in one of these post-game press conferences later. I'm going to check it out. Efros.
Trevino was another one, right?
Well, Trevino. Lou Trevino.
Yeah. The pitcher, Trevino.
He's definitely pretty close here. Is it EFFROSS?
Yes.
Two F's,
yes.
Two R's?
Yeah.
Or two S's?
What the hell? I don't know how to spell it. I barely know how to say it.
Man. I know. Efros, Efros. Yeah. I don't know how to say it either. Let's see here.
Yeah, either way.
They're coming back.
Efros has been in the minors for a while now, from what I'm seeing. He's got 17.2 innings logged down there.
Yeah. Okay.
He's not looking too good.
Yeah. I'm kidding. Like, statistically, I mean, it's just not happening for him.
Yeah, he's got like a 4.58 ERA right now. Yeah. So they're basically in this report that they're saying he's not
they're
making
searching.
A case to join the pen.
Zoo, that's a good job of jumping those numbers. They're scuffling and searching. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal. Back to your calls next. Evan Atiki after us on The Fan.
Annoy people on the quiet car and call The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, Mets 146, BT and Sal. Been a good start to the week here, Sal.
What'd you think of the Little League stuff last night? You get into that? I'm sure you and Cole were watching it, and he gets into it.
I know.
You like, you know, what do you call it? Youth baseball.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Now, there's two aspects of it, though, and, you know, I wound up putting something on my Instagram this morning. I hesitated before I did it, but I feel strongly enough to do it, so I did. Well, first, the broadcast was amazing. Like, it's fun. Jazz Chisholm sitting in there. I thought that was crazy.
I thought Jazz was great. It's mm-hmm. just not, maybe it's not for me, but I want to hear, go ahead.
I really like the broadcast. Anytime, see, one of the issues with the modern athlete is as the salaries soar, the disconnect between the average fan increases. So anytime you could, even if it's for one night, kind of change that, go back to the roots, I love it. The problem, this is less about the broadcast, the Little League, and I've been watching this forever, going back to, you know, back in the 80s on Channel 7. The game that we watch in the Little League World Series, it's not real baseball.
And why is that?
They're too old to be throwing from, this is the stuff that I know not everybody cares right. about, but they're throwing from 46 feet. The mound is 46 feet at this right. age, right? They're 11 and 12-year-olds.
Right.
Up until recently, 13-year-old kids could play based on the cutoff, right? They changed that, thank God. And the bases are 60 feet. Do you know that when you're 8 years old, the bases are 60 feet, and the mound at 9 years old is 46 feet? They're playing the same dimensions as my son,
who's nine. Yeah, that seems to not make sense. I mean, I don't know. And maybe that's because I've never been a Little League World Series fan. I mean, sometimes if it's on, I'll check. I don't think it's good for kids to be participating in that or to see that, honestly.
Why, though? Based on what?
I just think it's bad for the youth. Yeah.
To
be publicized like that.
Really?
Or have that. Yeah. I think that you have other young kids, like I'm sure Colt would kill to be playing in a Little League World Series.
Yeah,
you
know? We don't even have a path to do it. It doesn't matter.
But that's my point. We simply can't even compete for it. But my point is a lot of young kids will be watching this.
Yeah.
And same thing with big league stuff, but with a Little League World Series a little more. And then, you know, like, I don't know.
You think they feel lesser about themselves because they're not there?
I mean, that could be part of it. No, but just like, that even being in the Little League World Series, like, it doesn't mean anything.
Oh, but they don't. Oh, please.
You know what I'm saying?
But they don't know that.
What? Who, the kids?
When they're playing. What do you mean? You think they go into these games saying, well, this means nothing, but hey, we're playing on ESPN tonight?
How old are they?
11 and 12.
Okay, and they're treated like they're big superstars. They're not.
Yeah,
I don't think that's good for themselves, and I don't know if it's good for the sport in general as far as youth sports, but even aside from that, because I really don't even care about that.
I got you.
But maybe that's why I don't get into it. Everybody makes a big deal of this thing. Like, who cares? Field of Dreams, yes. Even playing in a different venue, yes, I could see that. The Little League, like, what's the tie-in? And I will admit that seeing Jazz hang out with fans or seeing Garrett Cole in the stands like that.
Seeing the kids like trying to replicate Soto's the strut before the game. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
I like that the players would hang out and interact with the young kids. I think that's cool.
There is nothing, I mean, it's your opinion, so I hear it, but there's nothing bad about Williamsport.
It just does nothing for me.
It's not for you. I get that. But,
there's nothing bad about it, but to me, it does nothing. Like, it just does nothing for me as a Major League Baseball fan. I don't get a kick out of them playing at Williamsport.
So you're talking about more Major League Baseball descending upon Williamsport than Williamsport and Little League as a separate entity?
Well, there's two different things.
Which one are you?
I don't like either of them.
I get that.
Right. I shouldn't say that. I don't like the Little League aspect of it, and just the big league, when they play there, it just does nothing for me.
Understood. I think it's great. I do.
You've been there or no?
I have not been. I've been to Cooperstown.
Okay,
I played at Cooperstown. I've not been to Williamsport.
I like that. I mean, I like Cooperstown.
That's great. So I think that, my complaints over what I watch with this Little League baseball is that, again, it's just not emblematic of real baseball. You can't take leads. You can't take leads and steal.
Be putting kids on TV at that age?
But that's a different discussion. At the end of the day, I'd like to shelter kids as long as possible.
Well, okay, but that's my biggest point. Like, these kids, we'll watch them right now. I mean,
mm-hmm. We got the game on in studio.
They're on
Staten Island. Staten Island had a nice, great run.
They're out.
Did they lose that second game? I think they're still in.
Yeah, they won the elimination game yesterday. I haven't checked in today if they've played yet. But
I think they're playing I think they may have already played.
How long has this been going on for?
Oh, my God, weeks. And then, like, really? Yeah, not everybody gets to Williamsport. Like, you start local, then I think you get to Bristol, Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then on the other side is the international bracket.
I mean, I
Taipei
can see,
and,
if
you
if your kid is in it, sure. But you know, well, outside of that, who the hell cares?
Of course.
Anyway, my point is.
And how are my Staten Island boys doing? I can't leave them hanging. Give me the update. I think they were playing this morning.
What do you mean you're not from Staten Island?
Hey, it's a borough.
So from what I'm seeing here, they do not play today. They actually wait until tomorrow till they play. Mm.
Is it 11? It's like in the morning, right? Then I may have misheard it. I thought I heard them. I may be totally off on this, I guess.
I don't have a game time up here. They're still there. Their opponent is
Staten Island. Who would I want? Pennsylvania or Staten Island? Let's go Pennsylvania.
I'm not saying you can't root for them.
Staten Island.
Yeah, you said, for sure, me too. I mean, it's the closest thing to local area.
Okay.
But you said my Staten Island team. Yeah. You're not from Staten Island.
I'm not. But
you're born in Brooklyn, you live in Jersey.
Right. Is Brooklyn playing today?
What are you going to do with Staten Island?
Is Brooklyn playing this tournament?
By the way, did you see who's playing in the, what do they call it, the Little League Classic next year?
The Mets and the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, okay, great. Who cares?
Oh,
and then they said the Mets played in it already in 2019 or 2018. I was like, I don't even remember that.
You forgot, huh?
I know. I had no recollection of it. And then I went back to check what I was doing. You know, like you could do it on your iCalendar.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, how do I have zero recollection of that?
And?
It made sense. I was in Seattle for those 4 days for my buddy's wedding.
Oh.
And I actually went to a Mariners game, so I didn't pay any attention to this.
That must have been a fun venue.
Because I was like,
venue.
I don't even remember this at all.
4 day wedding?
No, but we flew out there early, you know, went on like some whale watching.
Oh,
tour.
Nice.
All those. It was pretty cool.
Pacific Northwest,
I like Seattle.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I like
absolutely
Seattle.
Beautiful. Yeah. So, I mean, again, the little, it's just, whatever. I mean, I'll just save this for Instagram, whatever, but it's just not real baseball.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you can't, and these kids are big and strong. And they're 12 years old, and they're throwing from 46 feet. And when you throw, you know, 70-something miles per hour from 46 feet, do the conversion, it's basically like 100 or close to it. Not many balls are put in play, which means there's no real defense. The fences are short, 225 to center. You can't lead. You're not even scoring from first base on a double. I'm definitely not here to denigrate it. Like, yeah. I do prop it up. I support it. I love it. Anything with baseball and kids and softball, I'm all for. But it's not real baseball.
Yeah.
That's my only complaint.
Okay.
Not that they're getting the exposure. That's it. Let me get Zach in Massapequa. Zach, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Love what's up, Zach?
Is this BT and Sal or BT and Karen? What? I don't understand. These kids want to play in the Little League World Series. They dream of it. I remember as a kid playing Little League, hoping my team was good enough to make it. You know, wanted to
so
play
what? So, so what? So what's your point, though? I don't understand.
Why are you hating on the people on the Little League World Series?
I'm not hating on it. I just don't think it's good for them or other kids watching. I don't think it's good to publicize kids at that age.
I hear you. I do.
Oh, do
a
you?
Lot of weirdos out today.
Yeah.
I do. I kind of retract my statement.
Yeah.
But I also, so let me walk that back a little. That was a little aggressive.
Okay. That changed quick.
Yeah, anyway, I still don't. What's the problem with kids playing on TV? Anyway, BT, I completely agree with you. They got to move these distances back.
That's insane. It's
you
insane.
100 miles per hour feel like miles per hour.
No, I told you, the conversion rate, Zach, it's like 100. It's close to it. So, I don't know. You know, and then thankfully they got rid of the juice bats where somebody could get killed. Some kid got hit in the face the other night. We were watching live.
On the Little League World Series?
Yeah, and he was okay. He turned into the... Was that Friday night?
They use metal bats, I'm assuming?
They do, yeah. But... I mean, now again, I'm taking it down this rabbit hole. There's like U-Trip, which is the juice bat, which is like club ball. It's scary.
They can't use that.
They can't use that, thank God. Yeah. It's USA, which is more modified physics, you know, less bounce, less.
How do they determine who's the best team and whether you get, like, I never understood that.
Yeah, Sal, for all the baseball that I played and coached, I have never once been in a position to actually have a chance to go to Williamsport. I do know that it starts like local pods, maybe districts and states, and then, you know, and then it obviously advances from there as you matriculate through. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's like Cal Ripken, there's Little League, there's club, there's so much stuff going on.
Yeah, I just, it's just not for me. Yeah, end of story. I'm not saying, what? I mean,
such a grump, something, not for you.
You just said it's not real baseball. It's really, they're 12 years old, I don't care. And barely cared about it when I did it, let alone somebody else. So.
All right, I got you. Well, listen, good start to the week, Sal. SNY tonight, yeah?
Yeah. All baseball right, night in New York coming up at 6. See you then.
All right, look forward to that. We will see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. in the morning. Do a little, maybe a little Aaron Rodgers tomorrow. Got to get into that. Obviously, the Mets start a huge, pivotal stretch in their season. Yanks are off. I'm going to the Yankee game tomorrow night, so I'll have a little fun with that. And enjoy the rest of your day. Evan and Tiki up next on The Fan.
Annoy people on the quiet car and call The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
It's 146, BT and Sal. It's been a good start to the week here, Sal.
What'd you think of the Little League stuff last night? You get into that? I'm sure you and Cold were watching it, and he gets into it.
We were.
You like, you know, what do you call it? Youth baseball?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Now, there's two aspects of it, though. And, you know, I wound up putting something on my Instagram this morning. I hesitated before I did it, but I feel strongly enough to do it, so I did. Well, first, the broadcast was amazing. Like, it's fun. Jazz Chisholm sitting in there.
I thought that was crazy. Cool. I just, yeah, okay. Well, no, I thought jazz was great. It's just not, maybe it's not for me, but I want to hear, go ahead.
Oh, I really like the broadcast. Anytime, see, one of the issues with the modern athlete is as the salaries soar, the disconnect between the average fan increases. So anytime you could, even if it's for one night, kind of change that, go back to the roots, I love it. The problem, this is less about the broadcast, the Little League, and I've been watching this forever, going back to, you know, back in the 80s on Channel 7. The game that we watch in the Little League World Series, it's not real baseball.
And why is that?
They're too old to be throwing from, this is the stuff that I know not everybody cares right. about, but they're throwing from 46 feet. The mound is 46 feet at this right. age, right? They're 11 and 12-year-olds.
Right.
Up until recently, 13-year-old kids could play based on the cutoff, right? They changed that, thank God. And the bases are 60 feet. Do you know that when you're 8 years old, the bases are 60 feet, and the mound at 9 years old is 46 feet? They're playing the same dimensions as my son,
who's nine. Yeah, that seems to not make sense. I mean, I don't know. I just, and maybe that's because I've never been a Little League World Series fan. I mean, sometimes if it's on, I'll check. I don't think it's good for kids to be participating in that or to see that, honestly.
Why, though? Based on what?
I just think it's bad for the youth. Yeah.
To
be publicized like that
really?
or have that. Yeah. I think that you have other young kids, like I'm sure Colt would kill to be playing in the Little League World Series.
Yeah, we don't even have a path to do it. It doesn't matter.
We can't even compete for it. But my point is a lot of young kids will be watching this.
Yeah.
And then, and same thing with big league stuff, but with the Little League World Series a little more. And then, you know, like, I don't know.
You think they feel lesser about themselves because they're not there?
I mean, that could be part of it. No, but just like... That even being in the Little League World Series, like, it doesn't mean anything.
Oh, but they don't. Oh, please.
You know what I'm saying?
But they don't know that.
What? Who? The kids?
When they're playing. What do you mean? You think they go into these games saying, well, this means nothing, but hey, we're playing on ESPN tonight?
How old are they?
11 and 12.
Okay, and they're treated like they're big superstars. They're not.
I
don't think that's good for themselves. And I don't know if it's good for the sport in general as far as youth sports. But even aside from that, because I really don't even care about that.
I got you.
But maybe that's why I don't get into it. Everybody makes a big deal of this thing. Like, who cares? Field of Dreams, yes. Even playing in a different venue, yes, I could see that. The Little League, like, what's the tie-in? And I will admit that seeing Jazz hang out with fans or seeing Gerrit Cole in the stands like that.
Seeing the kids, like, trying to mock or not mock, but replicate Soto's the strut. Before the game? Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, dude.
I like that the players would hang out and interact with the young kids. I think that's cool.
There is nothing, I mean, it's your opinion, so I hear it, but there's nothing bad about Williamsport.
No, that's. It just does nothing for me.
It's not for you. I get that, but...
There's nothing bad about it, but to me, it does nothing, like... It just does nothing for me as a Major League Baseball fan. I don't get a kick out of them playing at Williamsport.
So my bad. So you're talking about more Major League Baseball descending upon Williamsport, then Williamsport and Little League as a separate entity?
Well, there's two different things.
There are. There, yeah. So which one are you?
I don't like either of them.
I get that.
Right. I shouldn't say that. I don't like the Little League aspect of it. And just the big league, when they play there, it just does nothing for me. It doesn't
understood.
Like,
I think it's great. I do.
You've been there or no?
I have not been. I've been to Cooperstown. Okay, I played at Cooperstown. I've not been to Williamsport.
I like that. I mean, I like Cooperstown.
That's great. So I think that, my complaints over what I watch with this Little League baseball is that, again, it's just not emblematic of real baseball. You can't take the leads. You can't take leads and steal.
Well, you think it's good to be putting kids on TV at that age?
But that's a different discussion. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I'd like to shelter kids as long as possible.
Well, okay, but that's my biggest point. Like, these kids, we'll watch them right now. I mean,
mm-hmm. We got the game on in studio.
They're on
Staten Island. Staten Island had a nice, great run.
They're out.
Did they lose that second game? I think they're still in.
Yeah, they won the elimination game yesterday. I haven't checked in today if they've played yet.
Yo, wait, I think they're playing. I think they may have already played.
How long has this been going on for?
Oh, my God, weeks. And then, not everybody gets to Williamsport. Like, you start local, then I think you get to Bristol, Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then on the other side is the international bracket.
I mean, I
Taipei
can see...
If
your kid is in it, sure. But, you know, well, outside of that, they'll care.
Of course.
Anyway, my point is...
How are my Staten Island boys doing? I can't leave them hanging. Give me the update. I think they were playing this morning.
What do you mean you're not from Staten Island?
Hey, it's a borough.
So from what I'm seeing here, they do not play today. They actually wait until tomorrow till they play.
Mm. Is it 11? It's like in the morning, right? That I may have misheard it. I thought I heard them. I may be totally off on this, I guess.
I don't have a game time up here. They're still there. Their opponent is
Staten Island. Who would I want? Pennsylvania or Staten Island? Let's go Pennsylvania.
I'm not saying you
New
can't
Hampshire
root for those.
Or Staten
you said my Staten Island.
I'll take Staten Island.
Yeah, you said, for sure, me too. I mean, it's the closest thing to local area.
Okay.
But you said my Staten Island team. Yeah. You're not from Staten Island.
I'm not. But
you're born in Brooklyn, you live in Jersey.
Right. Is Brooklyn playing today?
What are you going to do with Staten Island?
Is Brooklyn playing this tournament?
By the way, did you see who's playing in the, what do they call it, the Little League Classic? Next year?
The Mets and the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, okay, great. Who cares?
Oh,
and then they said the Mets played in it already in 2019 or 2018. I was like, I don't even remember that.
You forgot, huh?
I know. I had no recollection of it. And then I went back to check what I was doing. You know, like you could do it on your iCalendar.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, how do I have zero recollection of that?
And?
It made sense. I was in Seattle for those 4 days for my buddy's wedding.
Oh.
And I actually went to a Mariners game, so I didn't pay any attention to this.
That must have been a fun
venue. Because
I was
like, I don't even remember this at all.
4 day wedding?
No, but we flew out there early. You know, went on like some whale watching.
Oh, nice.
With all those. It was pretty cool.
Pacific Northwest, beautiful.
Yeah, I like
absolutely beautiful. Yeah. So I mean, again, it's just whatever. I mean, I'll just say this for Instagram, whatever. But it's just not real baseball.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you can't, and these kids are big and strong. And they're 12 years old, and they're throwing from 46 feet. And when you throw, 70-something miles per hour from 46 feet, do the conversion, it's basically like 100 or close to it. Not many balls are put in play, which means there's no real defense. The fences are short, 225 to center. You can't lead. You're not even scoring from first base on a double. I'm definitely not here to denigrate it. Like, yeah. I do prop it up. I support it. I love it. Anything with baseball and kids and softball, I'm all for. But it's not real baseball.
Yeah.
That's my only complaint.
Okay.
Not that they're getting the exposure. That's it. Let me get Zach in Massapequa. Zach, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Zach?
Is this BT and Sal or BT and Carrot? What? I don't understand. These kids want to play in the Little League World Series. They dream of it. I remember as a kid playing Little League, hoping my team was good enough to make it. You know, wanted to
so
play
what?
On TV.
So what? So what's your point, though? I don't understand.
Why are you hating on the people on the Little League World Series?
I'm not hating on it. I just don't think it's good for them or other kids watching. I don't think it's good to publicize kids at that age.
I hear you. I do.
Oh, do
a
you?
Lot of weirdos out today.
Yeah.
I do. I kind of retract my statement.
Yeah.
But I also, so let me walk that back a little. That was a little aggressive.
Okay. That changed quick.
Anyway, I still don't. What's the problem with kids playing on TV? Anyway, BT, I completely agree with you. They got to move these distances back.
That's insane. It's
you
insane.
100 miles per hour feel like miles per hour.
No, I told you. The conversion rate, Zach, it's like 100. It's close to it. So, I don't know. You know, and then thankfully they got rid of the juice bats where somebody could get killed. Some kid got hit in the face the other night. We were watching live.
On the Little League World Series?
Yeah, and he was okay. He turned into the... Was that Friday night?
They use metal bats, I'm assuming?
They do, yeah. But I mean, now again, I'm taking it down this rabbit hole. There's like U-Trip, which is the juice bat, which is like club ball. It's scary.
They can't use that.
They can't use that. Thank God. Yeah. It's USA, which is more modified physics, you know, less bounce, less
How do they determine who's the best team and whether you get, like, I never understood that.
Yeah, Sal, for all the baseball that I played and coached, I have never once been in a position to actually have a chance to go to Williamsport. I do know that it starts like local pods, maybe districts and states, and then you know, and then it obviously advances from there as you matriculate through. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's like Cal Ripken, there's Little League, there's club, there's so much stuff going on.
Yeah, it's just not for me. Yeah, end of story. I'm not saying, what? I mean,
such a grump sometimes, not for you.
You just said it's not real baseball. It's really, they're 12 years old, I don't care. And barely cared about it when I did it, let alone somebody else. So,
All right, I got you. Well, listen, good start to the week, Sal. SNY tonight, yeah?
Yeah. Right, baseball Night New York coming up at 6. See you then.
All right, look forward to that. We will see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. in the morning. Do a little, maybe a little Aaron Rodgers tomorrow. Got to get into that. Obviously, the Mets start a huge, pivotal stretch in their season. Yanks are off. I'm going to the Yankee game tomorrow night, so I'll have a little fun with that. And enjoy the rest of your day. Evan and Tiki up next on The Fan.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.